I have spent my whole life scared. Frightened of things that could happen. Might happen, might not happen. 50 years I spent like that. Finding myself awake at 3 in the morning. But you know what? I came to realize it's that fear that's the worst of it. That's the real enemy. So, get up. Get out in the real world. And you kick that bastard as hard as you can, right in the teeth.
Freaked out about your past. You're worried, you're scared to death of the future. And that's all you're thinking about. But the now doesn't exist. If we could celebrate every breath that we take, because nothing's a guarantee. If we could celebrate the breath and the exhale, which is being alive. Somebody hands you the ball and you run, you know. I mean, and if you get hit, you get hit. Or maybe you make it through. You never know. But I mean, I just know that somebody handed me the ball at a certain point, and I was hungry enough to keep running. And I'm still running. As long as you keep moving forward, just keep walking forward, things would be all right, I suppose, you know. And I believe that, you know, wholeheartedly.
The impulse to dream has slowly been beaten out of me through the experiences of life. You don't get in life what you want, you get in life what you are. You have to operate within the constraints of the dominant society and the things that they've created for you. It's a challenge to see yourself beyond that and to work to get outside of that even after those laws have changed, because that has become so much a part of you, you unconsciously operate within the parameters of what has been put in place. The imagination is a preview of what's to come. You get hungry by finding something that's you. All of us are born unique, but most of us die copies. You got to find out what is it that turns you on, what resonates with you. Thank you. When you live in a culture that is designed to destroy your sense of self, where you are marginalized, where you have a feeling of being hopeless and powerless, and you're terrorized, you got to change your mindset. Someone's opinion of you does not have to become your reality. Don't live the life that has been given you. You have to work on yourself, and you have to have an unstoppable attitude, and no excuse is acceptable, and you've got to make it a priority, a non-negotiable in your life, and hold a constant vision of what it is you want to achieve. See it accomplished and go all out. Find a way to win in spite of the setbacks, in spite of the disappointments, in spite of your failures. You will fail your way to success. If life knocks you down, try and land on your back, because if you can look up, you can get up. Those experiences, they challenge you to go to that next level and continue to move forward in your life, doing new and exciting things that eye has not seen, ear has not heard. You're going to live a life that will outlive you. You're going to live a life that counts, a life that will build a legacy. Who should I count on, and who should I count out? Many people never achieve their goals because they have too many toxic, negative, energy-draining people in their lives. And you have to have goals outside of your comfort zone that will challenge you, because in order to do something you've never done, you've got to become someone you've never been. You can't see the picture when you're in the frame. When you go for a walk with someone, something happens without being spoken. Either you adjust to their pace, or they adjust to your pace. Whose pace have you adjusted to?
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole the stains of time, the feeling disappears. You are someone else. I am still right here. What have I become? My sweetest friend. Everyone I know goes away.
Don't underestimate yourself. You don't know enough about yourself to become a cynic. And so you've got to challenge yourself to access that power that you have within you.
We human beings are the only creatures on the planet Earth that are born into a natural state of disorientation with our world. That is, while all other creatures are guided by instinct, of which they're neither aware nor have the capacity to question, each of us, as human creatures, was given the godlike power to create his or her own life. And each of us does exactly that all the years of his or her life. Every day, we put in place actions and ideas that will determine the shape and substance of our tomorrows.
I think that's what most people are looking for. I think they're looking for an answer outside of themselves, and they're never going to find it. If you're going to change you, you're going to have to find out something about yourself. So I started to study myself. I found most people don't know who they are. They really don't.
What do you mean? I mean, I know my name, I know my age, I know where
yeah,
I live.
Yeah, that's not
what
you,
else
though.
Is there?
You know, if you ask the average person who they are, they'll give you their name. They'll say, I'm Bob Proctor, but I'm not. Bob and Proctor are two words. My parents give them to me. They're called names, but it's not me. It's my name. Then somebody will say, well, this is me, but this isn't me either. It's my body. It's my hand, my leg, my body, my name. Who am I? See, I think we live simultaneously on three planes of understanding. We're spiritual creatures, we have an intellect, and we live in physical bodies. Because we lack awareness or understanding of who we are, we're totally locked into a physical world, and we let things outside of us control us. 95% of the population are reacting to life. They're not really living at all. Success is a funny word. Nightingale had a great definition for it. He said a person's successful if they know where they are and they know where they're going and they're progressively moving in that direction. He said that success was the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. Anyone that has a goal and they're moving towards it, they're successful. I think we should make a few waves. We should maybe stand out, be different. Not for the sake of being different,
okay,
but because we are different. We all think different thoughts. And I believe we should start to think and build images in our mind of what we'd like to do and then set out and do it.
Okay.
Emerson did that, Edison did that, Marconi did that, Samuel Morse did that, Buckminster Fuller did that. We could go on and on and on. Okay. They were different. They stood out. They made a few waves. What you see here in the physical body is nothing but the physical manifestation of the higher side of my personality. And what we have to study, I think, is how does this non-physical part of my mind work? What happens when I think? Where do thoughts come from? How was this chair built? Somebody had to think. Thoughts are everywhere. And we pull thoughts into our mind and we build pictures or images in our mind. If I can build an image of something in my mind, I'm quite capable of building a physical replica of it in my world. You decide exactly what you want, and then you start to think. Now, you're going to have thoughts come to your mind of why you can't get it. You have the ability in your conscious mind to reject that idea, kick it out of your mind. Thinking of why you can't do something is never going to do you any good. And keep thinking until you start to think of thoughts of how you can do it. And the way will be shown to you. It comes in the form of images in our mind. Think of how you can and not why you can't.
We get back what we put out. Our environment is a mirror, often a merciless mirror, of ourselves. And the people in our family, all the people in our world, will reflect back to us the attitude we present to them.
Learning is a lifelong process. You never stop learning. We can learn to do anything. We have phenomenal powers. If we used our body like we used our mind, we'd probably just move our little finger.
We tend to live up to our expectations. Take the attitude that there are a lot more reasons why you can reach those goals than fail in the attempt. Go after them. Work at it. Keep your attitude positive, cheerful, and expectant, and you'll get them. And as you do, you'll grow to new plateaus and be able to accomplish still more. And remember this, our environment, the world in which we find ourselves living and working, is a mirror of our attitudes and expectations. If we feel that our environment could stand some improvement, we can bring about that change for the better by improving our attitude. The world plays no favorites. It's impersonal. It doesn't care who succeeds or who fails, nor does it care if we change. Our attitude toward life doesn't affect the world and the people in it nearly so much as it affects us. You can number in the millions the jobs which are held but hated, the marriages which are tolerated but unhappy, the parents and children who fail to understand and love one another, all because of people who are waiting for the world and others to change toward them. Nothing can change until we do. When we change, our worlds will change. The answer is attitude.
I once read in a book where it said, when you read a good book through the second time, you don't see something in it that you didn't see before. You see something in yourself that wasn't there before. An educated person is not necessarily one who has an abundance of general or specialized knowledge. An educated person is one who has so developed the faculties of their mind that they may acquire anything they want or its equivalent without violating the rights of others. An educated person is the one that knows how to go and get what they want out of life. There's a law of opposites. It's called the law of polarity. Everything has its opposite. There's a right and a left side. Mm-hmm. There's a front and a back, an up and a down, a hot and a cold, positive and negative, yin and yang. You know, well, you can think negative or you can think positive, but you can't think both at the same time. And we have to train our mind to think or look for the positive or the good in things. There's good in everything. There's something good about it. Now, you may have to look to find out what it is, but there's something good in everything. There has to be a positive and a negative for anything to exist. But once we understand that there's this law of opposites, there's negative thoughts or positive thoughts. As the thought energy flows into our mind, we decide what we're going to think. When you pick up a book, the book is nothing but a picture that an author has painted in words. How he did such beautiful work. He said, I dream my painting, and then I paint my dream. They get the picture in the mind, and then paint it on the wall. And you'll often notice that people will shy away from you. They won't look you in the eye. They'll look down or look up. They'll never try to do anything of any great consequence because they don't think they can. They have a poor self-image. Every one of us has an image in our mind of ourself, and it's called a self-image. Too many people don't know much about themselves, and so they don't have a very good image of themselves. We can do anything. One point that all the great teachers, all down through history, have all agreed on, they've been in complete unanimous agreement on it, we become what we think about. Now, it may be fantasy at first, it might even appear to us as being a lie. Our thoughts control our feelings.
Okay.
Our feelings control our actions.
They mistake kindness for weakness, but you know the difference. And strength is something you know a bit about. You had to be strong to keep yourself alive.
The body always withers, so you might as well strengthen your mind and your spirit, because the body's, you know, that's gonna go.
People, they're like leeches. They just like sit and hold on to you and suck on you for a while. It's kind of like a drowning pool, you know? All these people waiting at the bottom of the pool, and they grab up at your feet and pull you down. Whenever you stick your head out of water, they just love to pull you down. But if you get down and sink with them, then it's cool sailing, you know what I mean? You spend a lot of time daydreaming. People have made comment to that effect, telling you that you're self-involved and self-centered. But they don't know, do they? About the long night shifts alone, about the years of keeping yourself company. All the nights you wrapped your arms around yourself so you could imagine someone holding you. The hours of indecision and self-doubt. The intense depression, the blinding hate, the rage that made you stagger, the devastation of rejection. But they don't know, do they? And it astounds you how they can be so smooth, how they seem to pass through life as if life itself was some kind of divine gift. And it infuriates you to watch yourself with your apparent skill in finding every way possible to screw it up. For you, life is a long trip. Terrifying and wonderful. Birds sing to you at night. The rain and the sun, the change of the seasons are true friends. Solitude is a hard-won ally, faithful and patient.
Always be able to go along, go alone, and go without.
You learn to be invisible, to look down, to avoid conversation. The hours, days, weekends, the weekend nights, alone. You couldn't figure out what they saw and the way they lived. Home was not home. Your room was home, a corner was home. Anywhere they weren't, that was home. You had to be strong to keep yourself alive. And you know yourself very well now. And you don't trust people because you know them too well. Man, you feel closer to people on movie screens.
Every damn person who said I wouldn't be anything, I'm crushing them every day. And I wish them no ill. I just wish to shine brighter. And if it burns my body to a crisp, I'm happy to go right now.
You spent a lot of time full of hate. A hate that was pure as sunshine. A hate that kept you up at night. A hate that filled your every waking moment.
Lifting and all of a sudden I'm throwing on 2.5s. I need 5 more pounds. I need 5 more every week. I'm making my little progress on the weight thing. I'm watching my lifts go up. It was probably the pivotal moment of my youth where I went, oh, okay, I'm capable of something. But I came aware of what that one can have some.
You tried so hard to understand the others. You wanted to be part of what was happening. You saw them having fun, and it seemed like such a mystery, almost magic. You thought that there was something wrong with you.
You'll find in your life that sometimes your great ambitions will be momentarily stymied, thwarted, marginalized by those who were perhaps luckier, come from money, where more doors opened, where college was a given. It was not a student loan. It was something that dad paid for. To where an ease and confidence in life was almost a birthright. Where for you, it was a very hard climb. That happens all the time. Some of the greatest Americans, some of the greatest thinkers, artists, architects, politicians, and other movers, shakers, and creators all over the world have come from very meager beginnings, like my favorite American, Abraham Lincoln. Just because you come from nothing, you must not let that be something that holds you back. And you will encounter people who never have to pay in full. They get to wreck the room and never have to clean it. They can get all the way through high school and never understand where a dollar comes from because they just get it given to them. You've suffered. Your humility has been tried. Your patience has been tried. Your resolve and your ambition has been tried. You cannot let these people make you feel that you've in any way been dwarfed or outclassed. You must really go for your own and realize how short life is. You got what you got, so you got to make the most of it. If you have an idea of what you want to do in your future, you must go at it with almost monastic obsession, be it music, the ballet, or just a basic degree. You have to go at it single-mindedly and let nothing get in your way.
I associate myself with are people who really kick a lot of ass and get a lot of stuff happening. And anybody I hang around with are someone who is as busy as I am. If they smoke, I'm turned off. If they drink, I'm out of there. If they're stupid, I'm bored. If they're mean, I'm bored. If they're trying to use me, I'm out of there. So I guess I'm very picky. If they don't work out, I'm not interested. If the mind is lazy and the body's lazy, who cares?
It's a virtue, you know, suck it up, keep going.
Past holds all of your mistakes and humiliations. The future holds whatever you can make it. And so the past has already been determined. It also holds all your victories and all your accomplishments. But all the bad stuff is there too, so why dwell? Learn from it and move on. Don't ignore it and don't say it didn't happen. Don't deny it. But you don't have to dwell in it and be miserable. You see someone from your past, like, ah, it still hurts. But the future's ready for you to not make those mistakes and to make it great. Knowing I have less in front of me than behind me, why not be cool with it? I'm gonna die soon. Like, oh look, you got some time left. Rock out, like make it amazing where the past has been done.
It's a grim game. It's like a child who's caught a fly alive and is picking the wings off it. The universe is that sort of scheme. It's a trap. It's a thing that gives you hope. It's always dangling possibilities in front of you to keep you going, but then it grinds you up. And then it revives you a little, like a master torturer, keeping a person alive in order to experience pain.
I'm tired of all the pain I feel in here in the world every day. There's too much of it. It's like pieces of glass in my head.
I didn't think it would end this way.
End? No, the journey doesn't end here. Death is just another path, one that we all must take. The grey rain curtain of this world rolls back and all turns to silver glass. And then you see it.
People look as if they're made of plastic and aren't really people, but only make-believe people. They're mechanisms which are going yakety-yak and pretending that they are really there and alive. The fundamentally important philosophical question is whether or not to commit suicide. Now, this is the real question. Is the game worth the candle? If you think no, then you better commit suicide. That's the logical thing to do. If, on the other hand, you're not sure, then you better make up your mind. Because if you're going to go on with the game of life and not be sure as to whether it's really worth going on, you'll make a mess of it. That's quite certain. It's like doing something evil, and like telling a lie. If you're going to gamble, gamble. And so, either suicide or gamble seem to me to be the great alternatives of this life. And what will the gamble be? The gamble, or the gaming, has to rest on the assumption that this game is superb. No other assumption will work. If I may put it in another way, the game is to be trusted. The universe, you yourself, it is fundamentally to be trusted. And this is the act of faith which underlies all gambling. Because if you don't make that assumption as absolutely basic, the game will not work. The game must involve an optimal combination of skill and chance. Any game where the result is known is not worth playing. We'll be right back. You see, the whole fun of the situation of a game is that you don't know the outcome. And that's why it's worth playing. Because life really is not the avoidance of death, the constant terror of death, the constant putting it off, constant vigilance that one will not die. That is death. What we call life is fundamentally willingness to die. So long as you shake the dice and you don't know how they're going to come out and flip, the game goes on, you see? So long as you take a chance.
Well, I am the police. And I say don't move, Snow White. You move, you're dead.
And I say I'm dead. And I move.
Man is made or unmade by himself. In the armory of thought, he forges the weapons by which he destroys himself. By the right choice and true application of thought, man ascends toward divine perfection. By the abuse and wrong application of thought, he descends below the level of the beast. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. A man is literally what he thinks, his character being the complete sum of all his thoughts. As the plant springs from and could not be without the seed, so the acts of a man spring from the hidden seeds of thought and could not have appeared without them. Thought in the mind hath made us. What we are by thought was wrought and built. A noble character is not a thing of favor or chance, but is the natural result of continued effort and thought, the effect of long-cherished association with high ideals. Only by much searching and mining are gold and diamonds obtained. And man can find every truth connected with his being if he will dig deep into the mine of his soul. Disease and health, like circumstances, are often rooted in thought. Sick thoughts may express themselves through a sick body. Anxiety quickly demoralizes the whole body and lays it open to illness and disease, while evil thoughts, even though they be no more than that, will soon shatter the nervous system. The body is the servant of the mind. At the bidding of evil, miserable thoughts, the body may sink rapidly into disease and decay. The body is a sensitive, plastic instrument which responds readily to the thoughts by which it is governed, and habits of thought will produce their own effects, good or bad, upon it. Thought is the fount of action, life, and manifestation. Make the fountain pure, and the stream of life will flow with greater purity. If you would perfect your body, guard your mind. If you would renew your body, beautify your mind. Thoughts of malice, envy, disappointment, despondency can rob your body of its health and grace. Thoughts of ill will, cynicism, suspicion, and envy is to be confined in a self-made prison hole. But to think well of all, to be cheerful with all, to patiently learn to find the good in all, is to live in sight of the very portals of heaven. And day by day, thoughts of peace toward every creature will bring abounding peace to their possessor. A man's mind may be likened to a garden. If no useful seeds are put into it, then an abundance of useless weed seeds will fall therein and will continue to produce their kind. just as a gardener cultivates his plot, keeping it free from weeds and growing the flowers and fruits which he requires. By pursuing this process, a man sooner or later discovers that he is the master gardener of his soul, the director of his life. Every man is where he is by the law of his being. The thoughts which he has built into his character have brought him there. As an evolving being, man is where he is that he may learn, that he may grow, and as he learns the lesson which any circumstance contains for him, it passes away and gives place to other circumstances. Man is buffeted by circumstances so long as he believes himself to be a creature entirely subject to outside conditions. But when he realizes that he is a creative power, and that he may command the hidden soil and seeds of his being out of which circumstances grow, he then becomes the rightful master of himself. The soul attracts that which it secretly harbors, that which it loves, and also that which it fears. It reaches the height of its cherished aspirations. It falls to the level of its unchastened desires, and circumstances are the means by which the soul receives its own. The outer world of circumstance is shaped by the inner world of thought. Man learns both by suffering and bliss. Indecision crystallize into weak, unmanly, and irresolute habits, which solidify into circumstances of failure. A man should conceive of a worthy purpose in his heart and set out to accomplish it. He should make this purpose the centralizing point of his thoughts. It may take the form of a spiritual ideal, or it may be a worldly object, according to his nature at the time. But whichever it is, he should steadfastly focus his thoughts upon the object which he has set before him. He should make this purpose his supreme duty and should devote himself to its attainment, not allowing his thoughts to wander away into vague and ephemeral fancies. For weakness cannot persist in a power-evolving universe.
I stand out here alone. Am I out? If you're going to try, go all the way. Otherwise, don't even start. If you're going to try, go all the way. This could mean losing girlfriends, wives, relatives, jobs, and maybe your mind. Go all the way. It could mean not eating for 3 or 4 days. It could mean freezing on a park bench. It could mean jail. It could mean derision, mockery, isolation. Isolation is the gift. All the others are a test of your endurance, of how much you really want to do it. And you'll do it, despite rejection and the worst odds. And it will be better than anything else you can imagine. If you're going to try, go all the way. There is no other feeling like that. You will be alone with the gods, and the nights will flame with fire. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. All the way. All the way. You will ride life straight to perfect laughter. It's the only good fight there is. Your life is your life. Don't let it be clubbed into dank submission. Beyond the watch, there are ways out. There is a light somewhere. It may not be much light, but it beats the darkness. There is enough treachery, hatred,
violence, absurdity in the average human being to supply any given army on any given day. And the best at murder are those who preach against it. And the best at hate are those who preach love. And the best at war, finally, are those who preach peace. Beware the preachers. Beware the knowers. Beware those who are always reading books. Beware those who either detest poverty or are proud of it. Beware those quick to praise, for they need praise in return. Beware those who are quick to censor. They are afraid of what they do not know. Beware those who seek constant crowds, for they are nothing alone. Beware the average man, the average woman. Beware their love. Their love is average, seeks average. But there is genius in their hatred. There is enough genius in their hatred to kill you, to kill anybody. Not wanting solitude, not understanding solitude, they will attempt to destroy anything that differs from their own. Not being able to love fully, they will believe your love incomplete. And then they will hate you, and their hatred will be perfect. Their finest art. He can't beat death, but he can beat death in life, sometimes. And the more often you learn to do it, the more light there will be. Your life is your life. Know it while you have it. You are marvelous. The gods wait to delight in you. We'll be right back.
one of the lessons that I've learned in this walk. That respect is the main thing. It's all about respect. Respecting, you know, who you are as a person, respecting the little guy, the little kid, the little girl, the boy, the old man, the older woman. You know, having the respect for people, and people will respect you back. Respect is key.
What do I say? They told me that I'm too much to handle. I've gotten way too fucking carried away. And damn, it's a shame. These fuckers had the best and they blew it. I'm running circles around the pussies they've made. I don't even care if I'm late. And I will never make the mistake of letting some crooked motherfucker steal the life from every one of my veins. How many times did I have to fight?